Take our Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 19. Second Kings chapter 19, verse 20. It says, then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Does God hear your prayers? What kind of prayers does God hear and answer? Last time we looked at the occasion of this prayer and that there was a great need that was before Hezekiah. We found at one point in Hezekiah's life when the Assyrians were coming against him, he brought money and he paid them off. He approached the problem in a secular fashion. We're reminded that sometimes the need is sensed and recognized in our life when we are confronting the enemy. But when we aren't confronting the enemy, many times we don't see the need or we don't recognize that we need God's help. But tonight I'd like to, and there can be other aspects of recognizing the need, but tonight I'd like to look at the presentation of this prayer that Hezekiah made. Notice, I'd like us to look in verse number 1. It says, in those days was And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Let's go to verse number 14. A little bit later on in timing, it says in verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. The first thing, I know this might sound very basic, but that he presented it. He didn't just hold on to this need, this thing that was going on in his life. He didn't just think about it. He didn't just dwell upon it, but he presented it. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it talks about how, you know, be careful for nothing, be anxious or worried about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And we find that he presented it to the Lord. You know, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't sit there with your requests just thinking about them, just worrying about them, letting them mull over in your mind, maybe getting bitter about something, maybe even complaining about it to someone else. But the basic truth here is that Isaiah, notice what it says there in the end of verse 14. It says, and spread it before the Lord. He took this problem and he laid it out before the Lord. He didn't just hold on to it. He didn't just kind of, you know, keep it there for himself. You know, sometimes I've heard in counseling, you know, sometimes people just need to lay out their problem before you and just, Having been able to just say everything, I was reading a book one time and the man talked about how, you know, this person came in for counseling and they spilled out their problem. I don't even think he said very much, but then they walked out and that's all they needed to do was just to say what was going on. But, you know, we need to take these problems and what do we need to do? We need to present them before the Lord. He spread it out before the Lord. You know, what are you doing with the issues that you are facing in your life? Hezekiah took this great need, this great situation, this dangerous situation, and he spread it out before the Lord. Oh, that we would learn to take the issues of life and simply spread them out before the Lord. Do we realize that God hears? Do we realize that God understands? We might say, well, no one understands what I'm going through. Well, there is someone that knows perfectly well what we are going through and knows the perfect solution to what we are going through. And we need to take our problems and we need to spread them before the Lord. You know, Hezekiah, for all practical purposes, was facing an impossible enemy. Was facing an enemy that had destroyed the nations around him. But he took this problem and he spread it before the Lord. We find the desperation of the presentation. Earlier in the chapter, what did he do in verse 1? He rent his clothes. You know, why was Hezekiah in such desperation? Was it merely because of the physical harm that the children of Israel were about to face? You know, that may have played into the desperation that Hezekiah was in, but it was not the main issue that Hezekiah had. If we go to notice what Hezekiah says in some of what he has said. Verse number 4. It says, "It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria his master hath sent to what? To reproach the living God." Notice as he presents his prayer before the Lord in verse number 15. "And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth." And he says at the end of verse 16, "Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which sent him to what? To reproach the living God." You know, Hezekiah was concerned about something. The enemy was blaspheming the Lord. Look at what the enemy is saying about God. Earlier in the chapter 18 and verse, the previous chapter 18 and verse 30, it says, "Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, The Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria." It says, "Hearken not to Hezekiah." At the end of verse 32, "And hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, The Lord will deliver us." Hezekiah was in a desperate situation, and one of the great things that he was concerned about is that here this king of Assyria was bringing reproach upon the name of the living God of heaven. You know, sometimes we're concerned about situations merely because of how they affect us. But are we concerned about situations because of how they affect the name of God? And Hezekiah, yes, there was danger that they were involved in, but there was a desperation also out of the fact that here is this heathen king acting like the God of heaven, the omnipotent, all-powerful God, is nothing. There was some desperate measures involved. We find that it was a humble presentation. Verse 1, what did he do? He covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Here in this first verse, when Hezekiah went in, you know, he wasn't coming in and, you know, having all the people come before him, sounding the trumpets. Oh, here comes the king to pray. Everyone, look at the king. You know, look at him in his great apparel. No, Hezekiah, there was a need. And there was a humility in his presentation before the Lord. And you think of the Pharisee and the publican. You know, the Pharisee is bragging about himself. And there was the publican, humble, recognizing his need before God. How do we approach God? How do we approach him in prayer? Is it in humility? Or is it to build us up? Hezekiah wasn't concerned about building himself up. He was concerned about the living God. Notice the truth of the presentation. Verse number 15. He says, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Verse number 16, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Verse 17, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. He recognized what had been said. There was truth there, but verse 18, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. You know, when Hezekiah came to the Lord in prayer, he came to the God of truth with truth. When you come to God in prayer, are you coming to him on the basis of truth? You know, if we simply come to God on the basis of emotion, we may come to God with the wrong request. You know, sometimes, for instance, you know, somebody may want to make a decision about a job. And, you know, Lord, give me direction in this job. But Lord, you know, if I give up, if I can't leave this job, I'm not going to be able to provide for my family. And so I've got to have this job. And I just don't see any other job out there, even though this job is, you know, requiring me to miss church on Sundays. I just, you know, are requiring me to do things that I know aren't right. I just don't know how I'm going to provide for my family. And, well, what's the truth in the situation? And Hezekiah recognized, yes, these kings have destroyed. And we might be able to recognize humanly, yes, I need this job to provide for my family. But what was the king of Assyria missing? What was his messenger missing? Well, these weren't any gods. They were false gods. They were nothing. And yeah, you're right that you've defeated them all and you defeated all their gods. But the fact is that none of these were gods. And Hezekiah came to the Lord with the truth of what was going on. You know, maybe it's a family decision you're facing. And you're thinking, boy, he's just never going to change. Things are just going to be the same. There's no possibility. Well, with God, all things are possible. And are you coming to God with the truth? Or are you coming to God merely with human conclusions? And so really, you can't ask God properly for what is needed because you're not presenting truth. We need to approach God with who he is, but we need to approach him with the truth of what is going on. Notice the purpose of the presentation. Verse number 19. It says, now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Notice Hezekiah doesn't say, please save us out of our hands because it's going to hurt really bad. We're going to lose a lot of people. Lord, we need your help because, you know, there's going to be a lot of homes that are going to be destroyed. No, he says what? That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Obviously, God cared about them. The Bible says, if God so clothed the lily of the field. I mean, if God takes care of the very grass that we walk on, how much more will he not take care of us? And here he comes to God on the basis, not that we shouldn't pray. The Bible says, give us this day our daily bread is the model prayer. But notice the purpose. That thou art the Lord God, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. You know, when you pray, is it for the glory of God? When you're praying for that soul to get saved, is it that God would be honored and glorified? You know, it can be so easy for us to pray prayers that build us up rather than building God up. You know, do you want those visitors to come to Kids Club? That God would be glorified. That family would see the great, the holy, the loving, the merciful God of heaven. Or is it that I can say, boy, I got 5 kids to Kids Club. And that's great. We want that to happen. But we've got to see the purpose. And Hezekiah came to God wanting them to be saved. Why? That all the kingdoms of the earth would know that the Lord is God. And as they looked at this kingdom that had no chance against the Assyrian army, it would be a perfect situation for God's name to be glorified. Because they couldn't do it. You know, tonight, is that the purpose of your prayer as we go to prayer tonight? That God would be honored and glorified? Or do we get, you know, the human tendency, we can get done with our prayer. Boy, I wonder what people thought about that prayer. Well, what did God think about that prayer? Is our purpose that God would be glorified? You know, this was a powerful prayer, that with it came a powerful answer. And God rescued them. It's interesting, where did he go? He went to the house of the Lord, the place of the presentation. He went to the house of the Lord. He went to the place where God's presence was manifested in a special way. I read in reading a book about this man had a son who was having brain seizures, and these brain seizures would affect certain things in his life and his behavior. And anyways, he was on medication, and the medication just was reaching the point where the doctors just didn't know what to do. Realized that the drugs weren't working anymore and just weren't controlling these brain seizures. And the surgeon came to him and said, "I'm sorry, but he needs surgery, but you know there's a 1/3 chance that in the surgery things will he'll be okay. There's a 1/3 chance that he'll come out and the drugs will they'll be able to help the drugs control the seizures, and there's a 1/3 chance that things will be just the same as they are already, and the side effects of the surgery are blindness, paralysis, and death." Are the possible side effects. And so they had to make this decision about this surgery. And they felt like God was directing them to have this surgery done. And it was interesting, you know, what they did is, you know, I think his wife went around to at this point they were, you know, weaker in Christianity, and then they gradually got stronger, but I'm not sure exactly where they are right now. But anyways, he went around to different churches and said, "Hey, here's a picture of our son. Can you pray for him?" And I think they got up like over 200 churches praying for their son. And anyways, it was the day of the surgery, and they're like, "Well, we need to get some more tests done, you know, before the surgery takes place." And it was a brand new wing of the hospital, and they had the tests being done, and you know, the doctors, the surgeon is like, you know, "There's just something's not right here, and the equipment doesn't seem to be working right. We're going to have to move them to another section of the hospital." You know, I think they're thinking maybe it's brand new equipment and things just aren't functioning correctly. And anyways, they brought him to a new section of the hospital. Well, he comes back to the dad and says, you know, "I think they had to fly in a surgeon from New York, or they had to fly him in from somewhere, or bring him in from somewhere, and this doctor," and he was waiting to perform the surgery, it says, "As if embarrassed, Dr. Dushani continued, 'We can't operate where there is no problem.'" And they thought these things were malfunctioning, but in actuality what was happening is that everything had gone away. And You know, I thought to myself, here's the dad speaking, what's wrong with me? Have I been asleep or just plain blind to what's been going on here these past 2 days? Gathering my thoughts, I replied, Dr. Duchenne, I can explain exactly what has happened. Rubbing his eyes and acting as if he wasn't really interested in my uneducated theory, Dr. Duchenne said emphatically, tell me, I'm looking for an answer. He said, it was God. God has healed Larry Jr. Dr. Duchenne looked at me as if I were talking about the Easter Bunny. I thought, I must get that smirk of disbelief off his pale face. Dr. Duchenne, let me explain. My wife and I are Christians. He raised his eyebrows as if to say, here we go. We have been calling Christian people all over the country, asking them to pray that the Lord would use this surgery to heal our son. Dr. Duchenne, we have over 200 churches alone praying for Larry Jr. Your equipment is not broken, and Larry Jr. is not sick. I never put the equipment in the rooms together with Larry's seizures because I was so sure God was going to heal him through the surgery. Don't you see what has happened here? God has performed a miracle right before our very eyes. I could tell the good doctor was not buying what I was selling. Now, Mr. Vaughn, let's not get carried away with God performing some supernatural miracle just yet. There is a very good possibility that your son's seizure activity will return in the very near future. Dr. Duchenne, with all due respect to your medical expertise, you're wrong. That statement produced a frown on the doctor's face. When God does a healing of this nature, it is permanent. I can't believe that I didn't suspect something yesterday when the equipment gave a clear reading. It's just that I was 100% sure Larry Jr. would be healed in the operating room. But isn't God good? He spared us that. Dr. Duchenne was just sitting there with a frown on his face, halfway listening to what I was trying to tell him. I could see his wheels spinning. His mind was searching for an answer. He was desperately trying to find something tangible that he could grasp onto. After a while, Dr. Duchenne came up with his own theory. Mr. Vaughn, what could have very well happened is that your son at the 11th hour realized the seriousness of the surgery. His body could have reacted by healing itself rather than going through the trauma of the surgery. That is a very good possibility of what could have actually happened. He seemed pleased with his theoretical evaluation of the situation. Anyway, Mr. Vaughn, don't be surprised if the seizures return. I expect the seizure activity to return in the near future, and when it does, then we'll reevaluate our position and act accordingly. I was getting irritated with his disbelief. Dr. Duchenne, you think what you like. You won't see Larry Jr. again in this hospital for seizure problems. No, as of today, seizures are no longer a concern in the Vaughn household. And he says, that day was the end of Larry's seizures. Larry never again had another seizure that we are aware of. And it's just interesting, you know, we saw in our own church how God worked in Mr. Griffin's life. And here, these people saw, you know what, we need to go to God with this problem. And in fact, they got as many people as they could praying for their son. They were concerned. There was a need, and they put their faith and trust in God. And, you know, we don't always necessarily know how God is going to work or choose to work in each one of these situations. But, you know, notice who he was glorifying, putting the glory on what God did. You know, are we concerned about that in our own lives? Do we recognize the powerful God that we are bringing these requests before, and that God does care. God does know what we are facing, and God wants us to give Him the glory. Now, do you believe tonight that God wants to be glorified? Well, then let's pray as if we want God to get the glory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you would be with us. Lord, help us to be able to put ourselves out of the way. And Lord, to put your will and to put your honor and your glory as the sole purpose of, Lord, why we are bringing these requests before you. And Lord, you are a great and powerful God. And Lord, in some ways, we have very little understanding of your power. But yet, Lord, we see it right here on the pages of Scripture. And Lord, how you miraculously rescued the children of Israel from this impending danger. Lord, that your name would be uplifted in the sight of all nations. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, even as we go to prayer this evening. And Lord, in our day-to-day lives, that we would get the big picture. Lord, that you want to be honored and glorified. And Lord, I pray that we would not limit your power, so to speak, in our lives by our own selfishness, but that you would help us to bring these prayers, even as Hezekiah presented them before you, as he simply humbly spread out his need before you, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified through it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.